wonderful to be with you all this morning. I thank Reverend Andrews for your invitation. And Beck and I are so honored and thrilled to be with you. And I'm just going to hold on to this microphone. Can't grow a couple inches right now. So celebrating Calvary Baptist's 122nd anniversary is just a wonderful celebration to share. So thank you, Beck. And it's my pleasure to be able to introduce to you my husband, Beck. Introducing my husband of 19 years is not an opportunity that I have to do. It's something that I rarely do, especially from the pulpit or a podium. So I did bring some notes in case I'm too nervous to remember what I would love to share with you. So bear with me. Typical introductions of Beck, and as your wonderful program this morning contained, just information about his current role as president of Whitworth University, and in his wonderful academic career, and his impactful research on children living in poverty. And while Beck, his career and life as a scholar and as a university president is exciting and interesting, and I do enjoy, I know the man sitting behind me in many other ways and in various other roles, such as, first came to know him as a friend, and then a husband, and now father of our three children. So they're worshiping with their church home here in Spokane, and are with their Sunday school classes this morning. But they bring in greetings also. Our three children were blessed to have a wonderful family together. So I have had the privilege of knowing Beck as a devoted friend, husband, and father, and also a brother in Christ. And through all of Beck's various roles, it is his devotion to Christ. And the central theme of his heart and his core conviction is the gospel of Christ. And that's the firm foundation that he has built his life upon. And that he retreats to and calls upon the power and person of Christ every day in order to live out his roles as friend, husband, university president. And so as Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Beck has demonstrated time and time again his ability to seek Christ as the way, as the truth, and as the life. And I've benefited as someone who gets to spend a lot of time with him from this life of not only seeking the Lord's will and the Lord's way, but after seeking, finding, and after finding, walking in the footsteps of the Spirit. And it's been a powerful and exciting journey for almost two decades now. So, one time I remember when we were in church in Texas, we met in Texas, and Beck was on the worship team and led worship on the praise team, a small ensemble, and they had asked him to share a solo. And the selection that I remember that I would like to share with you, and you may know, but I brought the words with me in case you don't. It's a Chris Rice song entitled The Untitled Hymn, or Come to Jesus. And these words for me demonstrate how Beck does see Christ at each turn in his life, and how each of us, if we will come to Jesus in every decision and in every difficult spot, in every tight spot and times when we don't know which direction to go, we can come to Jesus. And this is how it's written. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to cry. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, bride of Jesus and live. Oh, when the love spills over and the music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And when your final heartbeat kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side, and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. And that, just as a married couple for 19 years, we have faced difficult circumstances and trials, and I just have been so comforted by Beck's conviction of the heart to turn to Jesus at each turn. And Jesus is the way, but Jesus also is the truth. And as someone who highly values education, Beck has devoted his life to the discovery of truth, the discovery of God's truth, in teaching others God's truth, and seeking just all the different knowledge and wisdom that's there to be held. And through that, Beck has been able to empower those who walk alongside him with truth. And the freedom that he's experienced in his own life because of truth, it's just a joy to see how Christ takes that freedom and inspires others to be set free through their knowledge and coming to understand the world around us that God has created. And as a president of a university, just knowledge happening every day on our campus. And all truth is God's truth. And that's been a joy to just celebrate Beck's passion for truth alongside him. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and for Beck, Jesus is the life. And living life with Beck is a joyous and peaceful one. It's an abundant life. Beck's calendar is very full. Our life is very full. But that abundance is also abundance of joy and peace. He laughs easily. He's very silly with our kids. We have just eager times to laugh and share the joy. So it always is remarkable to me, with all the responsibilities that Beck holds, that God's grace covers him in peace also, and how his walk with the Lord and trusting Christ in his life allows this guy to really sleep well at night with a lot of difficult things that only by God's grace could that be true. So it's my great pleasure for Beck to share with us this morning. I'm eager to hear from him and hear his message. And I just pray that as we're hearing from Beck, that it really would be the Spirit's leading and the Lord's words that we would hear, that he would speak to our hearts.
Amen. Back in a Baptist church.
All right.
which, as we know, is a Presbyterian school.
All right.
It's good to hear the amens.
Amen.
Right. I did learn how a Presbyterian congregation says amen. You know how they do that?
No.
You know you're rocking it if you get up. So it's good to hear some amens this morning. Been out of the Baptist Church only for a couple of years, but I was looking through your wonderful program, and I told your pastor, I said, I think things have changed a little bit in the Baptist Church, because I see here on the back that there's an advertisement for designated drivers. Confided it to me before the service how nervous they were. They said, well, we're not public speakers. We feel really, really nervous. And of course, I was preaching that day. I said, "You think you're nervous? I'm not a preacher. They're going to expect a word from me." Reverend Andrews has been particularly kind to me today, allowing me to choose a biblical text and message of my own choosing and of the Spirit's leading this morning. When Pastor asked me to come and give a message, I prayed that God would deliver to me a fresh message, right? One that would be particularly important to you all as a congregation celebrating such a momentous anniversary. The Holy Spirit has been working in my heart. And so not long after receiving that invitation several months ago, God laid a scripture passage and a lesson on my heart that I want to share with you this morning.
All right.
Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. If you all would stand for the reading of the Word, this is the Word of the Lord given to His church in all ages. Reading from Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all began to be drowsy and to fall asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are running out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch.'" Keep watch. "Because you do not know the day or the hour." God bless the hearing of His word. We know in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus is preparing His followers for His death and resurrection. He is at the end of His earthly ministry. But they don't understand. He tries to talk about to them about His death and what it means for them and what it will mean for them in eternity, but they have a hard time understanding and hearing. Yes. So we know Jesus, through His grace, speaks to us and to them in parables, right, and stories, right, and context and meaning that they could understand, that they could grasp. Yes. And indeed, context and meaning that we can understand here today. I find it a little ironic, though, that sometimes we have to work a little harder, probably, than they did, right, to understand His meaning. In this passage, Jesus is in the middle of telling several stories, several parables, each of which deal with the end of days, each of which deal with His coming and His taking in unto Himself the church. Jesus is explaining the nature of heaven and the promise that He will again return to claim the righteous unto Himself. These were important promises, weren't they? Jesus knew that after His departure, the church would need to know with certainty that the hope for eternal life was real. Yeah. That sinners like you and me had a chance. No, not a chance, a sure thing,
yeah,
when it came to the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
These were important messages of hope for Jesus' friends. And they are indeed important messages of hope for us here today.
Thank you, Lord.
But the stories Jesus shared about heaven also had a deep thread of accountability running through them.
Right.
The stories were also very sobering. Because right along there with the message of hope and of salvation, Jesus was also reminding His followers that God is a righteous God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus didn't want us to think that His teachings about being the way and the truth and the life were merely good suggestions. Or optional. At least Only since it concerned the destiny of our souls. So Jesus reminded them and reminds us in no uncertain terms that while the overflowing grace that he offers to sinners is indeed a free gift to each one of us, true righteousness only comes when we accept that gift. So for many back then, and maybe even here today, the words that we find in the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25 are hard for us to hear. So what is the word that I want to bring to you this morning? Is it one of only hope and encouragement and joy here as we celebrate 122 years of faithful service and God's faithfulness to you? Or is it also one of caution, warning, and instruction? Friends, it's both. It's both because that's what Jesus offered. Words of hope and salvation, but also words of caution. The theme that I want to share with you this morning is keeping watch. Keeping watch. Repeat that. Keeping watch. As Jesus explains in these stories the nature of salvation and the nature of his second coming, there's a definite theme, and that is we are to keep watch. In the teachings found immediately preceding chapter 25 and chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew, we see this theme coming up once again. What does it mean for us to keep watch? Turn with me to chapter 24. Let me just read a little bit, starting with verse 36. Now, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, and one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. What does it mean for us as believers to keep watch? What does it mean for the believer? What does it mean for Christ's church today to keep watch? What does it mean for Calvary Baptist Church to have been faithfully keeping watch for the last 122 years? And by God's grace, what does it mean to Calvary Baptist Church to be keeping faith and keeping watch for the next 122 years? When I was a young boy, I enjoyed visiting my grandparents' home during the summertime in Arkansas. There were many interesting things to do to pass the time with my grandparents. My granddad owned a sports supply store. And so I would spend countless hours wandering the store, looking at baseball gloves and bats and balls. It was a child's dream, a young boy's dream. But as most children do, I would get bored from time to time, and I would complain to my granddad that I had nothing to do. Now, you have to know my granddad, my name Beck was his nickname. He was a jokester. And when I would complain to him, he would jokingly offer that the options for me when I got bored were to go to the Walmart and watch the truck unload. Go to the barber shop and watch hair fall. Or go people watching at the drugstore. In his wisdom, he knew that if I was given these choices, I would be much more content, right, in the options that I had. For me, watching, especially watching hair fall, didn't seem like very much fun. But what does it mean when Jesus says, keep watch? Is he implying that we should just sit around day by day, consumed with idly looking to the sky, waiting for Christ's return? Are we to be passive as we await the coming of Christ's kingdom here on this earth? Or by instructing us to keep watch, is Jesus telling us instead to be ready? Being ready is more active than simply watching. I think Jesus is calling us to action, don't you? For example, what did it mean for Calvary Baptist Church on February the 16th, 1890, only 3 months after the Washington Territory became a state, to keep watch, to be ready? The founders of Calvary Baptist Church and the far-off trading post of Spokane weren't sitting idle when they saw the vision of establishing the first black church in the state of Washington.
Oh, yeah.
They were pioneers.
Yeah.
The early church members and leaders at Calvary weren't just sitting around and waiting when they, after four moves and despite the odds, put their resources together to purchase this property that we stand in today, creating a long-lasting place of worship and service right here in the heart of Spokane.
Thank
you. Calvary Baptist Church wasn't just looking to the sky when in the midst of the Great Depression, when as the church's debts were rising and the number of parishioners was dwindling, the Reverend Emmett Reed gave up his salary so that these church doors could remain open.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
This great church wasn't just watching when it opened its doors to the community, to those in need, as a place for fellowship, and when it opened its doors of its parsonage to as a temporary home to strangers or for the families of servicemen returning from war. This community of faith, even today, as it stands for racial reconciliation and unity, in a community that, I'm sad to say, at times seems at best uninterested in healing its old wounds, and at worst hostile to African Americans, this community is not just standing still. No, this congregation isn't about watching anything, is it? This church is and has been for 120 years keeping watch. There's a difference. You see, being ready for Christ's return isn't simply about waiting for the inevitable, something that will happen sometime in the future. It's about using the gifts and blessings of God to usher in the kingdom of God here and now. Jesus prays, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In chapter 24, we see that the people weren't just sitting idly when the man in the field disappeared and when the woman at the mill disappeared to be with the Lord. No, they were in the field and at the mill. They were working and worshiping and committing acts of service when their Lord came for them. May it be so of us. May it be so of Calvary Baptist Church when the Lord comes again.
Amen.
Now in chapter 25, when Jesus tells the parable about the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom, he is once again teaching us what it means to keep ready, to keep watch, to be ready. Julie and I are celebrating 20 years of marriage this year. She's a patient woman, let me tell you. Our wedding day was an amazing experience. Months of planning and preparation, a service at 11 a.m., a reception that afternoon, and we were off for our honeymoon. It was a well-planned and intentional but relatively brief affair. Not so in the days of Jewish weddings. Not so. The customary Jewish weddings of Jesus' day last for weeks and maybe even months.
Right.
Jewish weddings were known to literally last for months, beginning with the betrothal, when the bride and groom were given in marriage to one another. Not yet fully married, but committed to a holy state of union.
Right.
And extending often for weeks, if not months, to the wedding feast, the actual ceremony that we're familiar with today. They knew how to throw a party. Now, in that day, it was customary for the bridegroom to be escorted by the bride maids, in this story, the virgins, into the wedding feast. But because of the many activities and festivities going on, there was no timetable. The bridegroom could show up at any time. There was no wedding planner pushing people along to stay in line. And it was up to the groom to decide when he would fetch his bride and enter into the wedding feast. In the story that Jesus tells, the bridegroom tarries. We're not sure why, but he's delayed into the late hours of the night. The bridesmaids who are waiting, who are keeping watch, grow tired, and they fall asleep. When the groom finally makes his appearance, some of the bridesmaids are ready for his arrival. They trim their lamps, they fill them with oil in order to light the way. Yet others in the wedding party aren't ready. They've neglected to bring oil to light their lamps. They hurry to find more oil, but it's too late. They are locked out of the wedding feast. And at the end of the story, Jesus repeats his instruction to us once again in verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.
Amen.
I remember singing as a young boy during church the song, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Keep it burning to the break of day. As I will sing, Hosanna, I'll sing, Hosanna.
Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Come on. For ministry for the next 122 yes. years. Amen. Yes. The second lesson for us this morning is that there are some things you just simply cannot borrow. All
right.
You need to possess them for yourself. It simply is not possible to rely on anyone else for these things.
That's right.
When I was a young boy, like many young students, I would sometimes fail to do my assigned homework. These are the confessions of a college president. Often during lunch or recess, I would ask my buddies if I could copy their homework. Most of the time, they would let me do it, and I would turn in my assignments and get credit for them, but inevitably, there was a day of reckoning.
All right.
At some time during the term, the teacher would give us a test. And during the test, there was no opportunity to look at someone else's work or to copy answers. I was going to be held accountable for my lack of preparation. You see, I could borrow and I could steal the answers to do homework assignments.
Yes.
But I couldn't possess the knowledge I needed to succeed.
Right.
One was relatively easy to obtain.
Yeah.
The other took a lot more effort.
Oh.
Holiness, friends, is one of those things.
Right.
It cannot be traded for. The responsible bridesmaids couldn't give their oil and their possession to the irresponsible bridesmaids, even if they wanted to.
Uh-huh.
If you are not what you profess to be, nobody else can help you or stand in for you.
Right.
The bridegroom will come,
uh-huh.
and then it will be too late.
That's right. Yeah.
Friends, this church, Calvary Baptist Church, is authentic.
Wow.
Your identity and mission, Pastor, are clear.
Thank you.
You are who you say you are.
Yes.
You live your life as a congregation with integrity.
Yes.
You live your life as a congregation with integrity.
Uh-huh.
May it always be so.
Amen.
But in the same way, my charge to you this morning is to keep watch.
Keep watch.
Yes.
Encourage all who would come through these doors to live spiritual lives of authenticity and integrity.
Uh-huh.
And I only know one way to do that, Pastor.
Thank you.
To preach God's word.
Amen.
To be true to His commandments to us. And to point people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let Christ be the center of this community.
Amen.
Let His teachings permeate every nook and cranny of this building.
Yeah,
when young people come here, let them know of the good news that Jesus came to save them.
Yeah.
When the old and infirmed come here for comfort and care, let them know that the faith of their fathers and their fathers' fathers is the same faith that will see them on to glory.
Yeah.
When young moms and dads and families come to seek community and fellowship here, surround them with wisdom and love, for they are bringing up the next generation of leaders for Calvary Baptist Church. May Christ and His teachings be at the center of this church. May you live an authentic and holy life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Finally, the third truth from this passage is the hardest of them all. But living as an authentic community of Christ also means that we speak the truth. Amen.
Amen.
That truth is that there are some times when it is simply too late. Mm-hmm. And too late is a terrible burden.
Oh.
One of the hardest things as a parent is to watch your children make mistakes.
Yes.
Part of growing up is learning that there are consequences to our decisions and actions. And despite our counsel and instruction as parents, sometimes our children, well, they make poor decisions. Julie and I have watched as our children at times make poor decisions, as many children do.
Mm-hmm.
It's always comforting when our children, after making a bad choice, see their error and repent of their ways. But the consequences will go on. Sometimes that's a hard thing for children to understand. The consequences survive.
Yeah.
As sinners, we know that there are consequences in our lives when we turn away from God.
Come on.
But God's grace is amazing, isn't it? Jesus' death and resurrection paved the way for us to replace our unrighteousness with God's perfect righteousness. It's a free gift. And it simply requires us to recognize our sin, to ask for forgiveness, and to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Lord is good that He has tarried this long. That He has delayed His coming. But even though it may be dark, prepared?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
Calvary Baptist Church, don't be deceived into thinking your keeping watch is in vain.
Yes.
It isn't.
Yes.
Keeping watch means having an unquenchable passion for bringing other people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because we don't want them to be locked out.
Yes.
Keeping watch means pouring every even more energy and commitment into the outreach ministries of this church. Throwing open the doors of this sanctuary to all who would come in.
Yeah.
Joyfully meeting people of all walks of life. Where they are.
Yeah.
Because we know that's how Jesus meets us. Just how we are.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Tarry no more, dear Lord. Come, Jesus, come. But as we keep watch, let us bring His kingdom to all who know this church.
Yes.
And when Jesus does come, may it not be said of us or those we serve, I don't know you. Rather, may our Lord Jesus Christ say of us, and all who would come through these doors, well done, good and faithful servant. Of Calvary Baptist Church, as we celebrate together 122 years of service. You know how 122 years in an age where institutions come and go, when our world so easily throws things away, no use, do you realize 122 years God has been faithful? As we celebrate 122 years of service to Christ and His kingdom, and as we look expectantly toward the future, Christ is instructing us to remain faithful, to keep Him at the center of this place, to be passionate about leading others to the good news of redemption and salvation, and to be ready to keep watch. To keep watch. May God continue to bless you in this church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God.
That He came.
Oh. there, and Jesus knew that he would deny him not once, but three times. But yet, the table was set. And they were invited. So I invite you, the people of God, to come to the table set before us by Jesus himself. Let nothing prevent you. Come to this table. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his disciples in an upper room. And there he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is given to you." And then likewise he took the cup. He says, "This is the cup, the cup is the covenant, the new covenant, which is my blood poured out for you. Take of it and drink of it, all of you." We invite the pulpit to come down to receive the elements.
Holy God, we come. You're thankful for this opportunity to partake in your body and your blood. We thank you, oh God, for how you went to the cross and you shed your blood that we may have the right to this real life. We are thankful this morning, oh God, how you has served, given your life that we may have a way to you. For realize, oh God, that your blood still has power. And we're still here this morning because of your blood. We pray, God, as we hold out this service this morning, that you look upon the pastor and his situation. Protect him and keep him. And we thank you this morning for the message that has been brought. This and all blessings we thank you for in the name of Jesus. Christ's name.
Friends, it's been good to be with you today.
Amen.
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 It's a beautiful day outside.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything important going on today.
No.
let me echo the pastor's invitation to you to attend a reception immediately following the worship service. We would love for you to attend. And of course, our prayers do extend to Pastor and to his brother, Paul, who is sick in Seattle. We pray for traveling mercies for Pastor Andrews and, of course, for healing for his brother and their family. Thank you for allowing Julie and me to be a part of your community this morning. I wish you Christ's blessings as you continue the noble effort, the noble mission of this church. And I pray that you will be keeping watch, not only for our Savior as he comes in the clouds, but also for opportunities to serve this community.
Amen.
And to reach out into the lives of others that need to know the love and light of Christ.
Amen.
So thank you for letting us be a part of this. Now, gladly receive the benediction. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours now and for always.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.